Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We are so glad that you are tuning in with us today. For today's message, as we continue our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, our teaching is entitled Built on Purpose. So prepare your heart for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
So this morning, we're going to be continuing in our series going through the book of Romans, and we are almost done. I know it feels like we may have been in this series forever, but we are coming to a close. So this morning, we're going to be going into Romans chapter 15. So if you've got your Bibles, the real Christians have real paper Bibles. If you have those Bibles, flip it over to Romans 15. Or if you have your iPad or your phone, anything with a Bible on it, Romans chapter 15. Or if you're new to church and say, I don't even have a Bible, we got you covered as well, as the verse is going to be on the wall behind me. So Romans chapter 15, going to start reading in verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say. The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Verse 4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Verse 8, remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles may give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, for this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name. And in another place it is written, rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth. And in another place, Isaiah said, the heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope on him. And lastly, in verse 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for who you are, Lord God. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God, just saturating this house in this service thus far, Lord God. And we pray that would continue as the message goes forth this morning, God. I pray you would hide me behind your spirit, Lord God, and we give you this time. We say, have your way in this place, Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, so good to be with you guys this morning. I always kind of like anytime I speak to start off with a question to kind of get you guys involved, get you kind of paying attention. So raise your hand if you say you'd like to work out, or even if it's not work out, like to run. If you value your physical fitness on a regular basis, raise your hand. Let me see all those people. Okay, awesome. About a half, 50-50 split, about half and half. I would love to say that I am one of those people who value physical fitness, but I am not. I don't work out like I should. Nor do I probably eat like I should, because I probably eat way too much. But I don't really value my physical fitness like I should. But there was one time in my life where I did. And that was in high school, almost 10 years ago, which is crazy to think about. So all the older people in the room were like, you're not that old. but in high school, I played basketball. I played basketball in middle school and high school. And I was this same height, 5'7 3/4, even when I was in high school. And that 3/4 is very important. All the short people said amen, because people take every inch that we can get. So I was 5'7 3/4 my freshman year of high school. And I was about 140 pounds. And I got this bright idea somewhere in the recesses of my mind to play football. And so I was like, I want to try to play football. And so when you see 5'7 3/4, 140 pounds, that in football do not equate well to each other. And so we were starting, so I showed up for workouts first day. showed up for workouts, and basketball workouts are very different than football workouts. If you've played any type of sports, you know football workouts are very different. And so I get on the bench press, and I think it may have been like just a bar, because I'm not strong, okay? I'm fast, but I'm not strong by any means. So I get this bar up, and I throw it off the rack, and it comes down to my chest, and I get it about right here, and I just forget to breathe, and so I'm just, you know, trying to push it up, and, you know, the guy who was kind of, you know, around, he's like, breathe, 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 breathe. You have to breathe, or you will pass out. And so, you know, I eventually start breathing. I eventually kind of get the hang of it, get my breathing under control, get the reps up, and then I go to the squat machine, and I do squats, and I finish the workout, and by the time, I felt good when I left the gym, but when I got home, woo, everybody know what I'm about to say, I was sore. Man, my body hated me. Anybody been there? When you work out, and it's like the first time you've worked out for real in a long time. Tasha Edwards is laughing at me right now because she kills it every day in the gym. And so I was sore. My body was very sore. And so the next day I went back and I asked my friend, I'm like, hey, is how I feel normal? Is this soreness normal? And he said, yeah, it's normal. But the more you show up, the more your body will get used to it. The more you put it in day in, day out, your body will get used to it. And so as I was praying this message, I thought about that. And I believe a word for some of you today is that don't tap out to something that's temporary. Don't tap out to what is temporary. Don't give in to that thing that you feel like is never going to let go of you. You may feel like the enemy has you in a chokehold, but know that that thing is not permanent. It's just temporary. And so don't tap out to something that is temporary in your life. But if you continue showing up, you continue having faith, you continue believing God for what you don't yet see, it will come to pass. Don't tap out to something that is temporary. Don't tap out to what is temporary. And so I kept showing up. I kept kind of showing up to the gym. I kept working out, and you know, and that went well. And kind of later in my life, I kind of started to work out again. And if you've ever been to the gym, kind of make some observations. If you're like me, I typically make a few observations when I go to a gym. When it's you know, not very often as that is, but when I do go, I typically observe a few things. You know, and one thing that always catches my attention, and this may be because I'm small. Like I said, I'm 5'7¾", and I'm 140 pounds, so I'm tiny. And so, but when I go to the gym, I always notice the really, really big dudes. Like the no neck having dudes and people who got arms that are bigger than my head. And my question is why? Like, why do you need to be that big? Why do you need to be that big? And that's just my question, because I'm like I said, I'm tiny, so I ask why you need to be that big. And as Paul says in Romans 15, verse 1 and 2, and I love what the message translation reads that. He says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step up and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. And so I see these big dudes, and my question is why? And so I'm like, okay, why are you that big? And so my thought process was, you know what, your muscles may be that big, but when was the last time you helped somebody lift something? And so I think about that in the spiritual realm. We have these people who have what I call show muscles. They go to the beach and they just look good. You know, got the six-pack, eight-pack all ripped up, got the arms all nice and toned, but it's just for show. And some of us, you know, in our faith, we come to the house of God, we come here on Sundays and Wednesdays, and it's just for show. We can flex real good. We can flex real, real good, but it doesn't serve a purpose. You may lift your hands at the right part of a song. You may speak in tongues. You may even pray every day, but it serves no purpose if you're not carrying somebody else along with you. We want to flex. And if I were a young person, I'd say something like, this is a no-flex zone. This is a no-flex zone, because here's the reality is, when I'm flexing my muscles, more times than not, it's intimidating, not inspiring. It's intimidating, and it's not inspiring. And so, but the first thing I noticed, like I said, is the overly large man, the big dude with no neck. But then I noticed somebody like me who was scrawny, who can barely lift the bar, that's changed, amen. And so now I can throw up a plate. And so, but I look at the person who's struggling, and I look at the oversized man, and I look at how the oversized man looks at the small man. And the first point I want to make is you have to step in. You have to step in. This is what Paul is saying. He says, those who are strong must help those who are weak. We should help others out and do what is right to build them up in the Lord. And so the thing that I love about this is that when you step in, it's kind of like, you know, when you're doing a bench press and you've got a spotter, you've got somebody who you're working out with, you've got somebody who's helping you lift up the weight. It's the same way when it comes to our spiritual health and our spiritual development. You have to have somebody who you're coming alongside who says, hey, I know you're struggling right now, but you're going to make it. I know you're struggling having faith, but God is faithful. I know you may have been inconsistent here, but God is always consistent. You have to have that person who you're coming alongside and walking through life with. You have to have those people, because those who are strong, those who are oversized and have no neck, have to come alongside those people who are smaller, who may be struggling. Paul is saying we can't live just for ourselves. You can't live just to have show muscles. Those muscles have to have a purpose. They have to have a purpose. And just a little tidbit of information, you never want to be the strongest person in your circle. You never want to be the strongest person in your circle, because reality is you're going to come up against something that you can't lift. You're going to come up against something that you can't lift. And if you have weak people in your circle, you're not going to be able to get it up. But also, you always have to have somebody who's going to build you up and somebody you're going to look to. If you're the strongest person in your circle, you may want to look and reevaluate things. You may want to reevaluate things, because when you become the strongest person in your circle, it's easy to feel good about yourself and make it about you. It's easy to do that. And here's the thing about stepping in. And that's hard for those who are strong in the faith. You have to do what I call get past the ugh. You have to get past the ugh. It's like when God is calling you to do something, when God is asking you to be obedient in an area, we all have these moments where it's like, God, I don't want to do this. You know, and you grunt and you moan and you complain. You kind of walk in a circle. I don't know why we do that. We walk in circles whenever you have to do something you don't want to do. And it's like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. Oh, okay, let me step in. And you go and you step in. And I love what the Message translation says. It says you wade in with them. You know, and if you know what the wade means, it's like you're wading in the water. I'm gonna go into where you are, even though it's not convenient for me. And so you get past the and you step in. You get past the and you step in. But here's the thing about stepping in, is that you have to be committed to stepping in, because typically, our commitment only goes as far as our convenience will allow us to go. Your commitment has to go beyond your convenience, because when you're committed to a process of stepping in and being there for somebody who's weaker, being there for your neighbor, being there for your brother and sister, it's not always going to be convenient, but we have to function out of conviction, not convenience. We have to function out of conviction and not convenience, because we have to be committed. We have to be committed. And one of the last things that I love that stepping in does, stepping in brings hope, because when you step in, hope steps in with you. When you step in, hope steps in with you, because hope brings expectancy to something that was almost extinct. Because what you don't know is the skinny dude on the bench, he was about to give up. He was about to say, I'm done with this. But then when you step in and you said, hey, I got this, let me help this lift you, you brought hope to his situation. You brought hope to what was almost going to be extinct. You helped him show up when he was about to back out and be a no-show. God is calling us to step in, and know that when we step in, we bring everything else that God brings with us. When we step in, we bring everything that God is into a situation. And the reality is, you don't have to have some type of pre-qualification to step in. Don't feel like you have to be the strongest guy in the room to step in. All you have to do is be available and be obedient and say, you know what, let me step in, I got this. Let me step in, I got this. So you've got to step in. You've got to step in. And the thing about working out, the thing about building your body, being built on purpose. That's the title of the message this morning, is built on purpose. The thing about stepping in is that there's a process. There's a process to being built. There's a process to it. And a lot of times we see these infomercials that, oftentimes glamorize physical fitness. Like for $19.95, you can get this Bowflex and you can be this swole rip dude. The reality is it's not that easy. It's just not that easy. I wish it were. I wish I could, pay $19.95 and get this Bowflex machine in for like 3 minutes a day? 3 to 5 minutes a day, just put it in. Man, I got that. I can handle that. But it's not that easy because we always see the before and the after, but nobody ever sees the in-between. You don't see the progress and the process that it takes to be committed to something over a long period of time, because they really had to be committed to it, because if it only went to your convenience, you would never get to the after. You would never get to your after if it were about convenience. You would never get that. You have to put the work in. And that applies to us spiritually as well. It's not enough for me to just have faith for something if my actions don't line up with what my faith is. Because God meets you where your faith is, but he also meets you where your actions are. My attitude and my expectancy about something will be mirrored with action behind it. If I expect something to happen, I'm going to act as if I know it's going to happen. And so my second point is you have to step up. You've got to step up. And the thing about stepping up, it requires you to literally step upward. You have to make forward progress in this. In Romans 15, verse 5, it says, "May God, who gives patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. And then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." And the thing that I notice about this, a lot of times we jump to, the patience and encouragement, living in harmony. But before that, Paul says something here. He says, "May God," and then he goes on to say the rest. That tells me that God gives this. That tells me that that's not something I can do in and of myself, because I'm not naturally patient. I'm just not. I'm not. My wife is shaking her head. It's like, yeah, no, you're not naturally patient. I'm not a naturally patient person. And so this is one of those things where Paul is saying this in the form of a prayer, because this is something only the work of the Holy Spirit can do. Because there's going to be times, there's going to be moments where it's like, I just don't want to do this. I can't take another step forward. I can't take another step beyond where I am right now. And so Paul is saying, you know what, you've got to sometimes step back. Before you step back and step up, sometimes you have to step back and say, God, what do you want out of me right now? God, I need you to give me patience. I need you to give me encouragement. I need you to give me endurance. I need you to give me whatever it is that I need to get through this. Because what that does is says, you know what, this is not about me, but it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in me. It's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in me. If I can get my illustration team to come up. And, as I was preparing for this, because Paul is saying patience and encouragement. Let me get it right here. That patience and encouragement, it doesn't come from us. And so naturally, what we do is this. So this is your starting point. Where Zanai is your starting point. And where Manny is, that's where you're getting to. And so here's what happens is I step forward, and I see the gap between where I am and where Manny is. And that's a big gap. It's a very big gap. But then what I'll do is I'll see where Caleb is. And I'm like, man, I took a step forward, but I see where he is. And now I'm judging where I should be based on where he is. I'm judging where I am based on where he is. But then I step again, and it's like, okay, but I'm still not where he's at. But the reality is I don't know when he started. See, now I'm judging where I should be based on somebody else's race that isn't mine to run. And so, my perspective is off, because the reality is, it's not about the distance that I'm stepping, it's the mat that I'm stepping. Because if I can understand that, I will see my destination in front of me. Because the reality is, I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I was. And so it's the gap. It's the gap. God is good and he's faithful in the gap, because his faithfulness is here, because that's where I've stepped from. That's where I've stepped from. If he's faithful to get me here, I know he's going to be faithful to get me there. Amen. But we can't judge Caleb's race based on where I am, because the reality is, I should celebrate where Caleb is, because Caleb might be jogging. Caleb might be jogging where it's hard enough for me to be standing, because it was hard enough for me to even get on my feet. But he's jogging. I need to celebrate his jog, but thank God that I'm even on my feet. Thank you, guys. And so that's what you've got to do. You've got to celebrate it, because the reality is, you're in the same race. You're still in the same lane. And you've got to celebrate it. You've got to celebrate it, because I can't be bitter or I can't be resentful of where somebody else is, because they're not running my race. And I can't get mad at somebody else for not understanding what God gave me, because God gave it to me. And when God gave it to me, it was sometimes just for me. Because Paul says, may God, who gives patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other. If you really understand that my job is to celebrate you where you are, I guarantee you it will change your perspective. I guarantee you it will change your perspective. Because that's what it's about. The whole premise of what Paul is saying is making it about others. Make it about him and make it about them. It's always about him and them. If you make it about him and them, you will always be taken care of. You will always be taken care of. And something that I noticed here in this, it says that may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live a complete harmony. The thing about patience and encouragement, if God needs to give me patience and encouragement, does that by definition mean at some point I may have been discouraged and irritated and agitated? Because if I wasn't, would I need patience and encouragement? But here's the thing about discouragement, irritation, agitation. Those things come. But here's what I believe about that. I believe that discouragement at times can be a decision, not a feeling. It can be a decision, not a feeling. Because the reality is, sometimes we talk to ourselves, right? Anybody talking to themselves? I know I talk to myself all the time. And if you don't talk to yourself, think about it. You've talked to yourself a lot more than you realize. You've been talking to yourself your entire life. When you're building Legos, you're building blocks, if you're trying to build something, okay, so I got to put this piece here, I got to do that here, I got to do that here. And it just kind of, it evolves over time. And eventually it's like, I got to complete this project, and I got to do this, I got to do this. And you talk to yourself. But at some point, you turned on yourself. Think about it. At some point, you turned on yourself, because at some point, you're like, man, I can't do this. Think about it. At some point, you turned on yourself. Man, I can't do this. I can't get through this. This is never going to happen. I can't get past where I am. At some point, you turned on yourself, and it became a decision in your subconscious. It became something you chose to do. But here's the thing. If you talked yourself into it, you know what you can do? You can talk yourself out of it. You can talk yourself out of it, because you spend time. You spend time, I heard a pastor say this, he says, you spend a lot of time talking to yourself and not enough time listening to yourself. And when I heard that, it completely changed my perspective on everything. We spend time talking to ourselves and not enough time listening to ourselves. And so listening to yourself sounds like this. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am above and I'm not beneath. Even though I may feel like I'm inconsistent, he's always consistent. Even though I may be struggling here, he's always faithful. He's always good. He's always kind. He will give me peace that passes all understanding. He will be whatever I need him to be. You've got to take that time. You've got to take that time and allow the word of God to saturate you in the midst of your situation. Because once you do that and then you celebrate other people in their journey and their destination, that's when you live in harmony. Because Paul is saying that that's about others. It's got to be about others. And in the process of stepping up, we know that sometimes things take time. And so if I'm working out, if I'm trying to be built on purpose with a purpose, but I'm not seeing the results, sometimes we get this confused because God's delays are not his denials. God's delays are not his denials. Just because a thing takes time does not mean it's not going to come to pass. Sometimes God is going to make you wait and put that work in so you appreciate it when you get it. So you see, wow, I see where God has brought me from. And so I'm going to make sure that I do everything I can to honor where I am. Because there's an appreciation that comes for a thing when you have to put the work in for it. There's an appreciation that comes for something when you've got to put the work in for it. I remember when I was in about eighth grade or so, shoes were my thing. And I got like $15 a week allowance. And I remember that I saved for 4 months for these pair of Jordans I wanted. I saved for 4 months. And like they were nice, like black suede Jordans. And I was like, 13? $200. Bought them with my own money. I was so proud. I had a brush for my shoes, like to brush the suede and make sure they stay clean. And so, because I worked for these, like I took care of them. I took care of them because I worked for them. I remember one day it was raining. And if you know the thing about, footwear, suede and rain, nah, bruh, that's not going to work. And so I'm on a bus. I'm in eighth grade. I'm on the school bus. And they dropped me off, at the front of my street. And I live like down the street if you've ever been in my parents' house. And in my mind, I got a couple of options here. I'm gonna wreck these shoes that I just paid for, and that's definitely not an option. And I didn't have any other shoes. So guess what I did? Took them shoes off. I put them in my backpack and I walked home barefoot. Because I understood the value of what I bought because I put the work in for it. And some of you need to appreciate where you are. Some of you need to appreciate where you are and go back and thank God that you are where you are because you're too busy complaining about where you aren't. Thank God for where you are and stop complaining about where you aren't. Because there was a perspective in that. As I think about that story, I was like, wow. Like, I was willing to walk home barefoot because of some $200 shoes. But then I sat down and I realized, man, some people don't have shoes. Some people don't. But and it completely flipped my perspective around. And so you've got to learn to appreciate where God has you right now and understand the process that he's on, that you're on with him. And so you've got to step up and believe that when you step up, God's going to honor you in that. And as you step up and as you have people who are spotting you, as you have people who are doing life with you, as you're walking in harmony, to think one thing that Paul says in this passage in verse 6, he says, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father. The interesting thing about then all of you can join together with one voice. I think sometimes instead of joining together in one voice, we want to hear our one voice. In the midst of a crowded room, you may be around a group of like-minded people, but still you'll want your voice to be elevated above somebody else's voice. But the reality is, I don't want to have the loudest voice in the room because there's no harmony, there's no unity when your voices are imbalanced. The voices around you have to be in balance. And when you celebrate somebody else on the journey, as we saw the illustration with Caleb, if I celebrate where he is, our voices are in balance. And so God is saying, step up. And when you step up and everything is in balance, then you can all step out together. My last point is step out. You have to step in, you have to step up, and then you step out. And when you step out, you don't step out alone. When you step out, you don't step out alone. In verse 7, it says, therefore, accept each other as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. And remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. And the thing that I love about that verse in verse 8 is that it says that Christ was the fulfillment. That Christ came to be the fulfillment. But here's the thing about Christ being the fulfillment. If Christ was the fulfillment, the reality is that you are now a representation of the fulfillment. You are a representation of that. So who around you needs the fulfillment in Christ that you represent? And so you are the fulfillment for somebody. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says that, so we are Christ's ambassadors making his appeal through us. For we speak for Christ and we plead, come back to God. You are a fulfillment for someone around you. That Jesus is the fulfillment. And you are a representation of him. So what do they see when they look at you? What do they see when they look in you? Verse 9, it says, he also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist wrote when he said, for this I will sing praises to your name among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises to your name. And then in another place it is written, rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth. And in another place, Isaiah said, the heir to David's throne will come and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope in him. The thing that I love about this is that it says that God gets the glory. That God gets the glory. Because in the before and in the after, you've got your before. And some of you, like, I'm not even at the after stage because I haven't made it. I haven't arrived. I'm still in progress. But the reality is, I'm not responsible for where I am. Amen. That is God's doing, and I have to give him honor in that, is that I am where I am because God chose to show his faithfulness and goodness to me as I believed and was faithful to him. And so God gets glory. He came so the Gentiles might give glory to God. That we might give glory to God. And I want to close with this. In verse 13, it says that I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The thing about that word hope that I love is there's a word that starts with E that's tied to hope, and that's expectation. It's expectation, because hope and expectation go hand in hand. And so my question to you is this. What are you expecting God to do in you? What are you expecting God to reveal to you? Because it says, then you will flow with confident hope in the Holy Spirit, that he is your hope, that he is your strength, and tied to that is the expectation of what he said he's going to be faithful to do. What are you expecting God to do, not only in you, but in people who are around you? What are you believing God for to do in your neighbor? Because Paul is saying that don't live just to please you, but make it about him and make it about them. So do I love you enough to believe and expect God to do great things with you, even though it might not have anything to do with me? Even though it might not have anything to do with me? Because the strong comes alongside the weak. And truly what we really see here is a picture of discipleship. We see a beautiful picture of discipleship. That I'm going to step in on behalf of someone else when they can't get something up, when they can't carry something, let me help you carry it. When they don't have the faith, let me encourage someone. When they don't have peace, let me show you and tell you how God gave me peace in a similar situation. Because you were built on purpose. We don't just have show muscles, church. It's not enough for us to come in here and go to the gym and pump and praise and do all that, but then go out and mean nothing. It's about him and it's about them. So what are you expecting God to do for your neighbor? What are you expecting God to do for the person who's going to be sitting next to you next week?
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We are so glad that you were empowered and encouraged by today's message. If God has touched or impacted your life through Restoration Church, we want to hear your testimony. So please take a few minutes out of your day and email us your story at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great and blessed day.